I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room. Brexit? For the tennis world, it's Brenter to Wimbledon, rotating from clay to grass, and the different challenges it presents confronted French Open women's champion Garbiñe Muguruza of Spain.
You really got to concentrate your first shots, which are going to make the difference. It's not like in clay, you got more time, you can survive more. Here, you right away are in danger if you don't go for it.
Muguruza advanced with a 6-2, 5-7, 6-4 winner over Italian Camila Giorgi. French Open men's champion Novak Djokovic of Serbia also had a short adjustment to the quick grass surface.
Tennis schedule is such that it requires from you the immediate focus on the next tournament. Literally after a week or so, I had to start training and getting myself in shape for grass.
Djokovic opened well with a 6-love, 7-6, 6-4 win over crowd favorite British qualifier James Ward.
The first part of the match was almost flawless, so I'm very pleased with the way I've started Wimbledon.
The opening round means half of the field made an early Brexit from Wimbledon. What's better than winning your first PGA Tour event? Well, winning it near your home. And that's what former U.S. Naval Academy cadet and officer Billy Hurley III did. And while every player gets congratulatory phone calls, Hurley's quick and loans win at Congressional Country Club caught high-ranking attention.
When the chairman of the Joint Chiefs Staff calls, you answer the phone. So I answer the phone, and you know, Admiral Mullen, said he was on a fishing trip in Montana, but just wanted to call me, and we talked for maybe 3-4 minutes, and he just told me what he tells me every time we talk, you know, is how proud he is and how proud the military is of me and the Naval Academy of me, and it was really special for him to think of me last night.
Hurley's win earns him a British Open slot, but duty calls, he will skip a trip across the pond to attend his sister's wedding. Meanwhile, Swede Henrik Stenson is on his way after erasing a decade of near misses at the BMW International Open in Germany.
It's great to win it again. It was 10 years ago lost, and I've been back-to-back second. I lost out here at this golf course in 2014 in a 4- or 5-man playoff. I was second last year in Munich, so it feels quite sweet to get it now and make it this third year when I was up in contention to manage to win it.
Stenson closed with a 71 for 17 under par, having played 36 holes on the final day because of earlier rain. Golf's Olympic return in Rio will lack the star power anticipated, as world-ranked number one Jason Day and Ireland's Shane Lowry are the latest professionals to withdraw from the Games. The 28-year-old Day from Australia and Ireland's top-ranked player Lowry say concerns over the Zika virus will keep them home. Four-time major winner Rory McIlroy, who was to represent Ireland, announced last week his decision to skip the first men's Olympic tournament in 112 years. The list of elite tournament professionals to opt out of the Rio de Janeiro tournament has risen to 11, including 6 major tournament winners. This comes at a time when the U.S. PGA Tour is doing very well, as International Business Times reporter Tim Marson tells us.
The PGA Tour especially is doing fine. They're in the middle of a pretty big TV contract. There's the diehard fans who are going to watch, you know, pretty much regardless. Professional golf is doing okay.
So what's the allure of the Olympics for the sport?
Participation has been dropping in the U.S. For a while. Golf courses are closing, and the U.S. is the biggest market by a long shot for golf. It has about half of the world's courses. I mean, the U.K. is the other big market, and there was a decline, and it's kind of stagnant, or it's stabilized, however you want to put it. So the idea of the Olympics is, if you get more people watching golf, if you get a global audience watching golf, you can get more people who are fans of golf, more people who want to go out and play golf, more people who find out what golf is, and maybe this is a sport for me.
The Rio Olympics open August 5th. basketball has lost a legend. Pat Summitt reached that sports summit as the winningest coach in Division I college basketball history. She died this week after battling early-onset dementia. She was 64. Summitt helped lead a revolution in women's sports. Summitt's University of Tennessee teams won 1,098 games over 38 seasons. She won 8 national titles and appeared in 18 Final Fours. She was diagnosed with early-onset dementia in 2011 and told everyone about it in a YouTube video.
Earlier this year, the doctors at the Mayo Clinic diagnosed me with an early-onset dementia, Alzheimer's type, at the age of 59.
Summitt decided to retire in 2012 and took the role of head coach emeritus at the University of Tennessee. In 2000, Summitt was inducted into basketball's Hall of Fame. Her style of coaching included a self-described intensity and an icy cold stare that could freeze a player in her tracks. But the most important lesson of the game for her was,
you know, those national championships and those big wins are great. If you don't have someone to share it with, if you don't have your family and your staff and your administration and your friends, you know, what do you have? And so it's really special to have all those great players, and I love getting phone calls, even if it's in the middle of the night.
President Obama presented Pat Summitt with the Presidential Medal of Freedom in May 2012. Until her death, Summitt continued to focus her attention on her players, deflecting away from herself, much as she did throughout her career. The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.